Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is August 30th. This is just about near the end here of August. Welcome. Let me be the first to welcome you to September. Okay, it's coming soon. Anyway, it's Tuesday, August 30th, and we got a show for you today with CASEL, the Collaborative for Academic. A lot of people know CASEL, but the Social Emotional Learning organization, but they don't know what that means. It's the Collaborative. It's an acronym. The Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, CASEL. The Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. They're a nonprofit, obviously, nonpartisan group, and they help set the standards for SEL learning. In fact, well, that's the thing that's redundant for SEL education. Okay, and it's they do a great job. We got Justina Schlund with us. Justina is a former teacher, former school administrator, former district administrator. She's the mom of two school-age children, so I'm sure she's not too busy. And in her spare time, she's the senior director of content and field learning over at CASEL. All right, and that's CASEL.org. All right, we're going to be talking about all this regarding parents' voices on social and emotional learning. Parents' voices on social and emotional learning. So I'll bring Jessica on in just a few. Justina, Jessica. I had a bunch of shows last week with Jessica. Sorry, Justina. Okay, Justina Schlund, if I got that wrong. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, our home website for our Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org, and go over there. We have SEL Today, it's all linked, okay, seltoday.org, which is our social emotional learning resource center. We've got our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, the online journal. Just click on the cover, enjoy the issue. It's the back-to-school issue. I think you'll like it over there. Our Excellence in Equity Awards program has been extended. Please go over there. Click on the awards icon. We archive all our podcasts over there, and we're real concerned about teacher retention. So we have a site called teacher-retention.com, which has some great professional development ideas over there. So please check it all out. Professional learning, that's at teacher-retention.com. And now to bring on Justina. All right, not Jessica. Here, it's spinning there. Let's see. There we go. Hi, Justina. I'm sorry I called you Jessica. It's Larry here.
No problem. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. I can barely hear you. Are you talking right into your phone? I want to make sure you are.
I am. I'm on my computer. Is this any better or not?
It's a little better. Just scream a little louder. We'll be okay. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody can hear you. That's all. Where are you in the great Chicagoland area, which is, I have a feeling, that's where you are. Where are you?
Well, I'm actually not in Chicago. I used to live in Chicago pre-pandemic, and I moved down to the state of Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas, where my family is and where I grew up.
Good for you. And I assume you're still a Bears fan. Has that changed? We need to talk.
Sorry,
Justina?
Come again?
Justina,
yes.
Are you still a Bears fan, or did you switch to the Cowboys?
I'm not sure I was ever a Bears fan, so follow football pretty lightly.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll forgive you then, and that. And also, I am having a little. Is there any way you can speak a little bit louder or talk into something that's a little bit closer to a microphone? That's what I'm concerned about.
Yes.
I want people to hear you. Can you do it? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to switch to my phone and see if that's better.
Do that. See what happens. I just want people to hear you.
How's that, Larry?
That's a little bit better, okay? So we're going to go with that, okay?
Okay, great.
Good. And by the way, you're welcome to give a shout-out to the kids. Have they started school yet?
They did. They just started. My daughter started kindergarten last week, and my son started third grade the week before that.
That's a big deal starting kindergarten. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Wish
her well.
Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Mommy says study hard and get to first grade. Okay,
right.
I have a feeling she will. Okay, social emotional learning, you're working with CASEL. I think that's wonderful. Again, everybody, Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. We are huge fans of social emotional learning here. We have our SEL Today website. Okay, We publish a small journal called SEL Today Digest. Okay. We are very, very, very concerned, okay, that social emotional learning, just like most superintendents are very concerned, that is the forefront of bringing kids back to school this year. And it's extremely important. And I'm sorry it got politicized somehow. Don't let it get politicized. Okay, these are resilient skills, learning skills, et cetera. And it's absolutely absurd that it became politicized. Like reading. Reading should be politicized. Yeah, right. Okay, moving right along from there. Tell us, how do you define, okay, social and emotional learning? Let's get a good definition there. Go ahead, Justina.
Sure. I like to think about it from both a personal perspective and an education perspective. So in our personal lives, I define social emotional learning really as, you know, how we develop into healthy humans. It's how we learn and use our life skills, like how we understand our strengths and weaknesses, how we cope with stress, how we make friends, how we work together to come up with solutions and solve our disagreements. And in schools, social and emotional learning has really become an educational approach over the last few decades that says, you know, in order for students to succeed in class and be prepared for their futures, you don't just try to dump content into their heads, but you help them connect to what they're learning. You spark their curiosity. You help them develop those strategies to focus and overcome frustration. And you teach them those critical life skills like teamwork and perspective taking that not only helps them be successful, you know, right now in school, but also serves them well in college, career, or wherever they end up. And this can look really different across different schools and communities.
Right.
But I often, you know, what I often describe when a parent asks me, what does it actually look like? I say, in the classroom, what social emotional learning really looks like is really good teaching combined with intentional time for building positive relationships and evidence-based strategies for teaching and helping students practice these social and emotional skills.
And I like your definitions, by the way. I always have a question about this, and you know, I as I mentioned, we are 100% in favor of great social and emotional learning, but social and emotional learning in schools, okay, and in parents as well. But parents have been doing this for forever. But social emotional learning in schools bounces back to the term social and emotional teaching, okay, and this is where I think CASEL is so darn important, okay. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I always find, and what you said about the whole idea of learning really is based on a lot of social and emotional skills. I agree with that. Okay. Yet somehow we're not teaching future teachers in teachers' colleges, and correct me if I'm wrong, about how to incorporate social emotional learning into their teaching. So talk to me about that if you can. Are we actually teaching teachers to use this, okay? And CASEL is the king of this, the king of the CASEL, if I may, okay? You guys do a great job, and everybody refers to the CASEL standards. And I love you guys, okay? But what about in college? Are we training teachers to actually do this? Justina, now the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Please continue. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I will say when I went to school, right, I entered the classroom my first year teaching, I felt wholly prepared to teach the academics, and I was hit smack in the face when I realized it was all social and emotional, right? And I felt like I had some classroom management strategies under my belt. I had some of these, you know, tricks of the trade, but it wasn't this deep understanding of student social and emotional development and how to really cultivate these skills. So that was, I won't tell a few decades ago, but I think.
Not that long ago.
Changing.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, a little while ago. Yeah, and we are hearing more and more about teachers' colleges and universities. We've received several requests from different universities that said they're interested in incorporating a lot more. And, you know, our CEO, Dr. Leah Samuel, has spoken at several universities. So I think there's a lot more growing attention to it now. And there's some great programs out there that do have a really strong focus on social emotional learning, but certainly more can be done and should be done in the coming years.
I agree. And I just have to ask you this. Is there anywhere where there's a degree in social emotional education? Is there anywhere? Does that even exist? I'm just curious. So,
there is actually a few PhD programs that we've heard of out there. I know Sacred Heart University a few years back started a PhD program that was specifically focused on social and emotional learning.
There's
a program degree, but there's a program, there's programs out of Harvard that are really focused intently on social emotional learning. So there are some options out there, and I think they're growing.
They have to be. Okay. It's about time, because every school district demands this. Okay. And it's the colleges that provide the pipeline of educators, so well-trained educators, I might add. Okay. And they have to start doing this. Okay. I can't say enough about that. Okay. Because without good social emotional learning, especially these days, you are not going to have good engagement. And you said it more far better than I could, Justina. You're not going to have the great academic skills that you need, okay, without a strong social-emotional background. And the other question I have for you, and I'm going to get into the parent stuff here, but the other question I have for you is this. Social-emotional learning, when we talk about it, do you, in your mind, see it as a more elementary, going to the early grades, than you do in the secondary grades, where teachers are more subject oriented? Okay, talk to me about that. How it fits into the secondary grades and how teachers can accommodate those needs, and are they doing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think there is a conception, misconception that it is an elementary thing because there's often a lot of focus in elementary classrooms. But, you know, at Castle, we really talk about social and emotional learning as a lifelong process. And some might argue that especially in those adolescent years and in those high school years, that attention to social emotional learning is actually so critically important. And so, you know, the districts that we work with and a lot of the states we work with actually are conceiving of SEL as a K through pre-K through 12th grade and post-secondary priority, where they have standards and benchmarks, and they're thinking at each grade level, what should kids know and be able to do in terms of their social and emotional skills, and how are they developing them? So in middle schools and high schools, we've seen this done in a couple different ways. One is there are various social and emotional learning programs for middle and high school that are focused on either explicitly teaching those skills in a classroom. So it might be through an advisory class. We've seen some really great advisory classes or homerooms that are really focused on social emotional skills instruction. And/or it's integrated really effectively into different subjects. So there are really great ways for, say, let's talk about perspective taking, and let's talk about our self-awareness and social awareness through a literature class or through history, and even through math and science. There's project learning and ways that students are working and practice collaboration skills and problem solving.
It's so key, and I hope every teacher understands this, because if you understand this, you're going to have a much better time with your kids. Your kids will be more engaged, okay, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes through, and I love what you said, it goes through pre-K-12, okay? And I want to say this, you know, you said it's an advisory period or whatever. This has to be part and parcel of all learning. We call it social-emotional learning like it's something over there. Okay, it's not over there. It's right smack dab in the middle of what you're doing. And if we get this right, okay, it's going to make it easier for you to teach math and science and history or whatever it is you're teaching. Okay, and it has to be incorporated all through the academics, and you'll get better results. Okay, that's enough on that. Everybody understands that. Okay, I hope they understand how I feel about it. All right, Justina, I want you to, and you were a young mom. Okay, I want to talk about that. You got young kids in school, so kindergarten, third grade. Okay, I said this at the beginning. We talked about this for a second. That, you know, SEL has become so stupidly, if I may, politicized. Okay, it was something everybody jumped on, but for no reason whatsoever. Okay, and all it is life skills, resilience skills, etc. Okay, talk about the role of parents. Okay, these days in schools, okay, and how parent voices can make a difference, not only in the school district, but also on the kids at home. And there's a lot to say about the role of parents in social emotional learning. Justina, you're on, and please go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, parents are really children's first teachers, right? Like before they ever enter it, pre-K classroom or a kindergarten classroom, parents are teaching children so much about the world around them. And pretty much all, you know, pretty much those first few years, what you're teaching kids is social and emotional skills, right? Yeah. How to interact with each other, how to relate, how to use your language to connect. And I really, truly believe that parents, because they've been there, because they're children's first teachers, that they do know what's best for their children's education. And as a mom of, you know, two young kids, I'll tell you that social emotional learning has everything to do with how I try to parent my children, what I want for their education, what I see in their futures. You know, if you ask any parent, what do you want for your kids' futures? What are the skills that are most important? I can't tell you if I've ever heard a parent tell me, oh, they have to learn the quadratic equation. They have to memorize the different parts of, you know, a sentence. But they almost always
say You made me laugh. Yeah. Oh, I hope he learns quadratic equations. Yeah. Yeah, that's every parent's dream. Yeah.
That's right. Your dream for your kid is almost always something that's grounded in social and emotional learning. So I say all that to say, I think parents are naturally social emotional learning teachers, whether they say that or not. And in many ways, you know, as educators, we often think about like partnerships to parents and how do we reach out to families. And in many ways, right, social emotional learning can also just be seen as an extension from the parent's perspective of the learning that begins at home. And so I think, you know, from the educator lens, which is what you actually asked, is, you know, school and family partnerships are really, really fundamental to this idea of social and emotional learning in schools. I think it has been part of CASEL's model from the very beginning, from the, you know, mid-90s when we were beginning this whole concept around formalizing a field around social and emotional learning. And I think it cannot be done without the expertise and voices of parents helping to say, what are our goals for our students? How can we work together to support these goals, to use some of the same language to reinforce what they're learning at schools, at home, what they're learning at home in schools? And I think, you know, especially now as we're seeing all the impact of the pandemic unravel, you know, we know it's going to take all of us.
Brutal.
You know, families, schools, communities working together to really, really fully support students' social, emotional, and their academic development.
So let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer, but I want you to articulate it. Okay, where's the disconnect? You know, I'm hearing from I work with a lot of companies in the field of SEL. They produce curriculum and all that, and some of them are telling me that, oh, geez, some districts are really scared to even bring up social emotional learning. Now, what you said is exactly right, okay? Where's this disconnect coming from, okay? And that's what I want to focus on. How do – and I believe a lot of parents, I believe every parent wants good social-emotional learning for their kid. They may not want to call it social-emotional learning. They may want to call it good life skills, that type of thing, okay? Good resilient skills. But the term, which is so absurd – social emotional learning has, for some people, taken on a political stance. So let's just say every parent wants the thing that's right for their kids. Where did this crazy disconnect come from? And I have to ask this, has some of the fault, and sometimes pay with the best of intentions. You know, not every teacher is well trained in SEL, and people are concerned, I think, that maybe teachers aren't as well trained as they should be to handle the skills that really a parent gives a kid. But the schools have a lot to do with this. Okay, just talk about all of that. Where's this disconnect coming from, and how can they be sure, okay, that the teachers are handling this very emotional situation well? Go ahead.
Yeah.
That was a good question. I like that question. That was a good question. Yeah, go for it.
Great question. You know, I think if you look at what's happened over the last few years, we have seen really, you know, social emotional learning was sort of this like niche idea in the 90s, right? Like people had maybe heard of the term, but it wasn't this big thing in education. And in the last few years, in the last decade or so, we've seen lots and lots of attention and demand around social emotional learning, lots of things being called social emotional learning. There's, you know, I think it's a lot more attention that's caused some confusion and scrutiny. And then boom, hits the pandemic, right? And that attention and demand that was already there for social emotional learning before the pandemic hit just skyrocketed. And it increased attention to all aspects of education, you know, within this political arena. And I think, as you said, some of the concern and the confusion is really earnest, right? And I think this is an opportunity to really clarify what evidence-based implementation looks like. That's what we talk about at CASEL, right? Evidence-based, meaning it's implementation that is grounded and scientifically researched to show positive outcomes. So I think it's a really important opportunity to do that. I think it's also a really important opportunity to share stories. That's sort of what we've been working on, is listening to parents and helping them share their stories about the positive impact on student lives and what it actually looks like in the classrooms and at home, and provide those resources to help schools and districts implement social emotional learning really effectively. I will also say that I think some of the confusion is deliberate, and it is also arising from a misinformation campaign that's driven by politicians and political operatives, and not so much by parent voice, right? Like we hear this narrative in the media right now about parents, you know, and SEL, but really over and over the data keeps showing us that parents support and demand social and emotional learning. You know, did a survey of 2,500 parents and found 88% of them said they want their students to learn social and emotional skills in school. Yeah, of course, right? Who doesn't want that, right? So I think this is also an opportunity, though. You know, this is the time to really create that space for parent voice, for the vast majority of parents, for the vast majority of teachers and students themselves who support social emotional learning, who know it's so important now more than ever before, and whose voices, you know, may not be heard. And I think, you know, while some people are out there politicizing, I think we, our job as educators, as people who care about children, as parents, right, like our job is to make sure that every kid, you know, is able to thrive, that they can stay motivated in schools, that they can achieve their goals. And that is going to take social and emotional learning.
It really is. And, you know, I'm going to bring up, since you said you're down in Texas, and Texas can be fairly conservative in places. You know that. Okay, nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to imply that. Okay, down there. Okay, I'm up in Maine, so I can say down there. Okay, when you're down there, did you notice a difference in the school's attitude towards social emotional learning?
You know, it's interesting. My kids go to a public school down here in Dallas, and they are focused on emotional learning, just like they were when we were up in Chicago.
And that's interesting.
You know, I think you're seeing some of the differences in the politics at that level of the conversation, but at the level of actual schools and districts, right? I think you know, the vast majority of schools out there recognize that this is so important. There's decades of research that shows
they do
this is so
without
important.
Question.
And you know, we know from the data that 95% of school districts in America, red, blue, purple, whatever, right, 95% of school districts have implemented social emotional learning in some way. And it could look very different. It could be through professional learning. It could be through a program, right? Like, but 95% of them have said that they're prioritizing this in some way. And that spans all political leanings. And you know, social emotional learning until now hasn't been this political issue. It has been something that the right, the left, the centrist, everyone has supported because they see how deeply connected it is to all of these different goals around academics, around work.
Yeah, exactly. How deeply connected it is to academics, without question. And, you know, I just want to mention this, okay? And I think this is part of CASEL, but I'm not sure. There's a website, everybody, and you talk about this, Justina, called leadingwithsel.org, leadingwithsel.org. And the first blurb on it is 80% of parents want social-emotional learning. So do the vast majority of students, educators, and employers. We can't let politics drown out our voices and get in the way of our children's education and future. And there's not a parent in the world who doesn't want their kid to be a better person and a more resilient person, et cetera, et cetera. All right? And is that a CASEL site, leadingwithsel.org? Who put that site together?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking about that. So CASEL has been working with 18 major education organizations. We're about to release the name names in the next week. But we've been working with some really big education organizations across the country to really say, social and emotional learning is important now more than ever before, and we really have to stand behind it. So we're working with folks who represent parents, who represent teachers, who represent superintendents, who represent sort of all these different perspectives to come together and share accurate information about social emotional learning and dispel some of that misinformation that's out there. And the really cool thing about the site, I just have to say, is there is a page. So there's all these resources. And, you know, can share how you can reach out to lawmakers to support social emotional learning, how you can, you know, talk about it with your school boards. There's all that kind of cool stuff. But the really cool thing that I think I just really want to mention is there's a page on parent and caregiver voices where
I'm looking at it.
These parents who are animated on here are so great. We've been going around the country just talking to parents. And these are parents from all different parts of the country, right? From, you know, Texas, New York to, you know, Ohio and all different areas of the country. And we've just been talking to them about what does social and emotional learning mean to you? Why has it been important in your life? What does it look like for you as a parent to promote social emotional learning? What does it look like in schools? How have you worked with schools? And they have just shared some of the most compelling and interesting and rich stories that really just showcase, you know, how parents feel about SEL.
Right. And again, everybody, it's leadingwithsel.org. Okay. And there's an icon up there. It says parent caregiver voices. And if you go over there, there's all these little 2-minute audio clips. Okay. Of parents, I assume some educators too, maybe caregivers, et cetera, talking about why education that prioritizes SEL is so very, very important. All right. And I want to make the point to everybody, including educators. If somebody stands up and starts screaming and yelling about SEL, tell them to just lower their voice and improve their argument. Okay. It has nothing to do with the loudest voice. Okay. It has to do with the facts. All right. And you got to back this up with facts. And that's what this is all about. Okay, there is no reason in the world for anybody to be yelling and screaming about the good things that SEL does, and it doesn't do any bad things. Okay, it does only good things. Okay, it's just ridiculous. Again, it's leadingwithsel.org, and that's the kind of organization arguments you're going to need to counter whatever silly effect. You know, when the ESSER funds came free, according to CETA, the State Ed Tech Directors Association, most superintendents want to put most of those funds into SEL. Okay, this is something that professional educators and the vast majority of parents believe in. So don't let the screaming voices get you down. There's plenty of good arguments against it, and don't let them force the way. How's that sound? Is that good, Justina?
That is absolutely right. And, you know, on the point of district leaders, I'll say, you know, Titan Partners just asked 100 district leaders, what's their top priority going into the 22-23 school year? And you know what their number one answer was? It was social and emotional learning.
Yeah,
it was social and emotional learning. It was whole child development and social emotional learning. That was their number one answer.
We know
schools have all sorts of priorities right now. And what I think is, why is social emotional learning the number one priority with all of these other things going on, academic recovery, mental wellness, teacher burnout, right? Like all of these other things going on is because they see how social and emotional learning creates a foundation and connects to all of their priorities.
Exactly, and it connects to, and I want to say this again, it connects to the academic side. Kids will learn better when they are socially and emotionally better, okay? It's that simple, all right? And that's why this is so darn important, and you guys are doing a great job out there. And Justina, you're Senior Director of Content and Field Learning, and I wanted to ask you about that. Field learning at Castle, what do you do with that? As Senior Director, what do you do? By the way, your boss didn't ask, Melissa didn't ask me to ask you that. I'm just curious. She trusts you.
That basically means that, you know, I have a really cool job where I am learning from all of the field. And the field is parents and educators and district leaders and state leaders, right? And basically it's saying that I'm not only communicating about what we do, but half of my job is really listening to what's going on out there and sharing that with all of you. And so I have this really cool job where I get to talk to parents and I get to talk to, you know, teachers and say, what's going on? What are your stories? Share your stories, share your insights, share what's working in your classrooms, and get that out to everyone else.
We love to work with Castle here. Okay, we have our SEL Today Digest. We have our SEL Today Resource Center, okay, up online. All right, anything we can do to help you, more podcasts, et cetera, Justina, you're always welcome here. We are 100% on your side. Keep it up.
Thank you so much, Larry. So appreciate
conversation. And I mean that, okay? It's a sincere invite to get in touch, and whatever you need, you want to write for us, you want to do whatever, we'll help you get the word out. Not that you guys are bad at that. We can just help you widen it a little bit.
We appreciate all the help we can get. That's great.
That's good. And don't mention down there that you're a Bears fan. Okay? They love the Cowboys too much. Okay?
Thanks for the tip. Yeah.
And by the way, although I know it's hot as hell down there this summer, you will laugh during the winter when it's so warm. I hope it stays warm down there. They had a cold spell last year. But I hope you have a lot warmer than Chicago winter.
That's right. Well, that's why I'm down here. So
I figure. Right. Good enough. Okay, Justina, thanks a million. It's great. Great to know you. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
You as well. Thanks so much. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Justina Schlund. Justina is the Senior Director of Content and Field Learning at Castle. You know Castle, the SEL standards people, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. They're castle.org, but if you go to this site, this is really cool, leadingwithsel.org, okay? That's your fight, okay? Right there, okay? Help them out, all right, and help yourself out as well. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.